Desert Island Dinner.
Now, looking back to your childhood, do you recall any particular moment of inspiration when you said to yourself, I'm going to be a dancer?
Well, I never said to myself, I'm going to be a dancer.
Well, how did it happen?
Well, I had flat feet.
So did I, but it never made me a dancer. Well, what happened then?
Well, I was sent to have exercises to strengthen them, and that started my training.
What was your very first professional appearance?
Here in London, in a Christmas pantomime, The Quittington, at the Old Kennington Theatre.
How old were you then?
I was 10 years of age.
And after that?
Well, that led me to train seriously with Serafina Astafieva, the great Russian teacher.
Here in London?
Here in London, and that was where Diaghilev came to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And saw me working one day.
And offered you an engagement in his company?
Not right away, because he was very amused at me. But later, he decided to take me into the company for the production of The Sleeping Beauty they were doing at the Alhambra.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I never danced in it.
Why?
Because I developed diphtheria.
Oh, dear. But you did join the company later?
Oh, yes, I joined them on my 14th birthday in Monte Carlo.
Oh, that must have been wonderful. At the age of 14, going off to Monte Carlo to join the greatest ballet company in the world.
Yes.
Who looked after you?
I had my governess with me, and we were both in the care of Ninette de Valois.
Mm. Being a Russian company, of course, the rehearsals were taken in Russian, were they?
Everything, yes. All the rehearsals and the rehearsal calls were written on the board in Russian.
A child dancer's life must be very hard. I mean, the hours of dedicated practice every day as well as normal schooling. Do you look back with any regret at having missed the sort of carefree childhood that less talented children have?
Well, if I can say honestly, I don't think I was ever aware of missing anything because I was so intrigued and enthralled with what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And now today I find all the things, if you can put it, that I missed, I enjoy them very much more.
Let's break off for record number 3. However, when Diaghilev died and his company disbanded, what happened to you?
Oh, at that time I just thought I was going to give up dancing completely. I didn't want to dance any longer.
Did you come back to London?
I came back to London, yes, but I didn't dance here. And then I realized that I had to go on dancing. So I went back to Monte Carlo for a season. But I wasn't very happy. And then eventually Frederick Ashton wrote to me.
Yes. Of course, in those days, there was virtually no British ballet, was there?
No, it was extraordinary, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what work did you do with Frederick Ashton?
Well, he had been asked by Sir Nigel Playfair to choreograph the dancers for a Dryden play, the Lyric Hammersmith.
Mm.
And he wrote and asked me if I would be interested to dance in them with him.
Yes.
Well, as you know, I accepted, and from there I went to the ballet club, which started the Rambert Ballet.
Mm.
And Ashton did many of his first works for me there, and then the Vic Wells and Camargo Society, you know, one
yes.
thing led to another.
Then those fabulous years in the 30s when you were the first great British prima ballerina of the Vic Wells. Tell us, Madame Markova, what was your salary when you started with the Vic Wells?
Oh, dear me, I think it was 5 guineas a performance.
Yes.
And, well, and we didn't have a performance every week. I think it was every other week.
You must have danced in most countries in the world now, haven't you?
Well, I've danced in quite a lot, but there's still quite a few I haven't danced in.
Any particular ambition still unfulfilled?
Well, maybe to dance in Japan, perhaps.
Mm. Now, this is a question you must have been asked thousands of times. Which is your favourite classical role?
Giselle.
I thought you'd say that.